Well, hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If it's the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we would like you to be a part of it. Pick up that phone right now, friends, if you have a question or something you'd like to discuss. That number is 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to talk today about godly perspective and how godly perspective can lead to godly purpose in life. And a wonderful passage is out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 14. It says, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. So from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." So I think believers can look through a different lens and see the world and see life and all the things that life throws our way from a different perspective, from a godly perspective. Yeah. And we can see people from that same perspective. And when we do, I think we can really understand our why in life, why we're here, what our real purpose is. So this godly perspective can lead to godly purpose in life. And oftentimes, when the world throws its stuff at us, when situations like have happened over the last several weeks take place, we're still looking at it from a human perspective, from a fleshly perspective. And I think this passage is a challenge for us to get our minds on things that are set above and to see things from God's vantage point. And that changes everything, doesn't it, guys?
Yeah, you know, you just see the motivator here. It's Christ's love. Christ's love compels us. And then you think about, you know, what it means to have a worldly point of view. It reminds me of behaviorism, which was a movement that, you know, B.F. Skinner and others sort of pushed along. And that was the idea that we're essentially an animal and that, you know, what we need is behavior modification. And how do you do that? Well, you do it with a reward or a punishment. And, you know, that's not God's way. That's a worldly point of view. That regards man as nothing but an animal. And what the Bible teaches us is we're a new person in Christ. We're a new creation. We have a spirit where Christ lives. And so we can be motivated by Christ's love within us rather than some sort of reward or punishment system. And so, you know, the gospel comes in and just sort of blows to smithereens that whole base view of humanity. The gospel esteems us. The gospel shows us who our creator is and what we're designed to be motivated by. And, you know, in this passage, Bob, we're seeing the motivation is Christ's love, Christ's presence, being new in Christ, having a new outlook. So it's not pressure from the outside. Like, it's not pressure from church, or it's not pressure from religion. It's not the pressure of punishment or the, you know, concern about reward. It's not any of that. It's internal, where Christ lives inside of us. And so the gospel is esteeming who we are, who God has made us to be. And, you know, when you go from being an unbeliever to a believer, you start to learn a whole lot more about how complex we are and why we're designed to have Christ living in us, compelling us.
He really is our hope of glory. And this whole month we've been talking about our living hope, that we've been born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Well, he's come to live inside of us, and he is our living hope, and he's the one that really changes our perspective and enables us to, one, understand his love, abide in his love, and then see people through that exact same love. I think that's why Paul went on in this passage to say that we are ministers of reconciliation, and that God has given us this message that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting men's sins against them. You know, when things like Charlottesville happen in this world, you know, folks are very quick to speak of condemnation. We're condemning those things. Well, God has already condemned sin and sinful man. We saw that at the cross. And that frees us to not have to walk down that path of judgment and condemnation, but to understand that there's something else at play, that God has a greater purpose and a greater truth that he wants to bring to bear in those situations, and it's the reality of Christ himself. And so as we begin to see people, not through the eyes of judgment and condemnation, but through the eyes of love, then our purpose, our why, starts to clear up, become crystallized in our minds, and action can follow suit. And I think we need more people to really understand that we do have a new perspective as children of God. Yeah, that just makes all the difference in the world.
Without question. And those are the good words that we begin this edition of Basic Gospel with. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We'd love for you to join us by phone if you're hearing the live broadcast in the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, 844-322-2742. That's the number to dial in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Friends, you know, every Friday we discuss hard-to-understand passages of Scripture, and if you have a particularly troubling passage, we'd like to hear about it. Call us at 844-322-2742 or send your hard passage question to bob@basicgospel.net. And by the way, you can also post your question on the Basic Gospel Facebook channel. Either way, we'd love to hear from you and discuss your hard passage on a Friday edition of Basic Gospel. Also, please remember, friends, that to keep the good news coming on Basic Gospel, we depend upon your prayers and generosity. And remember that with your donation in this month of August, we have the new and very exciting DVD series, Your Living Hope, as our gift to you. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742, and we'll send you a copy of Your Living Hope. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to our phone lines and talk with Daron listening to us in Temple, Texas. Hi, Daron.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Going well. What's on your mind today?
Well, you know, this Sunday I'm going to do a little short sermon on 1 John 3. You know, I appreciate you guys. You know, I think it was last month, y'all kind of clarified, you know, the context of that. And not just y'all, you know, the Holy Spirit teaching me. Because that scripture, that passage always used to scare the mess out of me. Because I always be afraid that, you know, when it says that those who are born of God does not make a practice of sinning. And I know for myself that I sin every day. So, you know, I will get afraid like, well, God must not live in me. But it's talking about, you know, you have to look at that in the context. You know, when it says everyone who sins breaks the law, in fact, sin was lawlessness. Now, if you go back and look at the scriptures, you have to realize we're ministers of a new covenant. And you have to look at that in the new covenant context and understand it in the new covenant. And what Jesus said, you know, Paul said that Jesus commands us to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said the world's sin is unbelief in me. So, you know, now I understand that. So once you're a believer, you cannot become an unbeliever again because you have the seed of God living in you. Your Amen. Spirit can no longer sin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Daron, I think you made some great comments on this passage. You know, you got to see 1 John in contrasts. I mean, 1 John is a contrast between light and darkness, between Satan and God. And then between love and hate. And I think that's what you see in this chapter that you're talking about, because, you know, people can, you know, quiver in the corner and quake in their boots, wondering if they're, am I saved? Did I sin too much today to where there's no way I'm saved? Did I love enough today? Well, we need to see the contrast here. I mean, you know, did I love enough? Well, love is contrasted with hate here, hate and murder. So, you know, John is not trying to scare Christians. He's just trying to say there's been a trend reversal in you, Daron. I mean, the day that you received Jesus Christ, the hate went out and the love was poured in. The day that you received Jesus Christ, the death was taken out and the life was poured in. And there's this contrast between life and death, light and darkness, hate and love. And that's what we need to see. And when we see 1 John in that context, then everything gets clearer. John is not trying to get you to measure up to a standard or prove that you're saved by working hard at it or anything like that. He's just saying, you know, when there's a nature change, then there's going to be a trend reversal, and God started something new in you, and he's going to carry it on to completion. So
right. I understand that. Well, I tell you, you know, when I first read that, I was thinking, well, then I'm not good enough. Now, a person can also read that and take it like this. They'll say, like, well, see, I don't stand, and they look down on everybody else.
Yeah, that stuff makes me sick. I mean, there's people that twist this passage and then say that they never sinned a day in their life, or they don't sin anymore since they got saved. And, you know, all of that business is just garbage. Jesus died for people who commit sins, not for people who are sinless. And, you know, the idea that Christians never sin again. I mean, Paul says, don't let sin reign. You know, James and Peter and others talk about a brother who is stumbling and being sensitive to them and restoring them with gentleness. Well, if they weren't sinning, then why would any of that be necessary? So it's obvious that Christians still sin. That's why we need a Savior. And you know, the good news of this passage, though, I think there's something powerful here. And that is that, you know, we're not doomed, we're not destined for a life of sin. There's a trend reversal, and Christ is doing something incredible in us. I mean, he's literally renovating our attitudes and actions every day. So
right.
I appreciate your thoughts. I think you got some great insights, and I'm glad you're sharing soon on this passage. It's a powerful one.
Yeah, I'd like to know, Duran, how you're going to do just a short little sermon on this. There's 3 weeks worth of stuff here.
Yeah.
Well, there is. I think I got it, though. I think I got some, you know, some good stuff, and I can go do it not too fast, but although not too slow. But I mean, I have been doing that, you know, every other week, putting short sermons together, you know, at the church, and it's been going pretty good. And, you know, I'm kind of getting better at it. You know, I always say that I don't want to take anything out of context, you know, and say the wrong thing. But as far as, like I said, once you understand the grace message, and understand that your sins, that he remembers your sins no more, then when you look at scriptures like that, you can go back and say, well, no, there's now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. So what does this mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
You go with what you know. You let what you know, what is very clear in Scripture, give the commentary, give the interpretation on what is a little muddy or unclear. And I think if you let what's clear kind of give you the perspective, those confusing passages will clear up really nicely for you. And obviously that's the case for this one, Duran. So.
Yeah.
Good for you. Mm-hmm. Wish we could be there Sunday and hear your sermon on this. That would be great fun.
Well, I appreciate y'all. Thank y'all so much.
Thanks.
Well, you're welcome. Yeah, thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. Friends, I want to remind you once again that we are streaming live video of each day's broadcast on our Facebook and YouTube channels. Just one more venue to share the gospel, and we hope you're taking advantage of it. Guys, with reference to today's devotional concerning Stephanie's story, Jane wrote to say that this story really hit home with her. She says, I'm fighting to get this truth of forgiveness from my head to my heart. How does one get it there? How does the way Stephanie did? I keep preaching it to myself, she says, but my heart hasn't gotten it yet. I'm in great spiritual distress because of all of it. I know that all I know to do is to keep asking God to let me see with the eyes of my heart. This has been ongoing for quite a long time, and I'm desperate and miserable. Do you have any advice for those like me stuck in this quagmire? I guess it's called unbelief, and that terrifies me.
Yeah. Well, just a brief context of the devotion that she was referencing, the devotion that we sent out today had to deal with the passage in 2 Peter where it says if you're not growing in your faith and adding to your faith these various things, it's because that you've forgotten something, that you're nearsighted and blind and forgotten that you have been cleansed of your past sins. So a lot of times people are stymied. They feel like they're stuck in the mud as far as their spiritual growth is concerned. Well, Peter diagnoses the problem there. You've forgotten that Christ has taken away your sins once and for all. So Stephanie was a person that wrote to us and said how this wonderful message of Christ's finished work really breathed into her a breath of fresh air and helped her really start to grow in her faith. So this is such a key issue. If you want to grow in Christ, you really have to start with the finished work of Christ. You really have to come to grips with the fact that you have been cleansed once and for all, because if you don't believe that you've been cleansed, every time you sin, you're going to be fearful of God. Instead of moving toward Him, you're going to move away from Him as far as your mind is concerned. And when you're moving away from God, then you're putting yourself in a place to latch on to the things of this world, and that's just going to lock down on you and keep you from growing even more. So this is the key that opens the door to spiritual growth for every Christian, resting in the finished work of Christ. It's that important, isn't it?
Yeah. And you know, what I would say, Stephanie, is that You're really concerned about your unbelief. You're concerned about your heart. You said, I want to get it from my head to my heart. And then you said that, you know, you're worried that your heart is not believing, and that scares you. Well, I understand what you're saying, but there's some great news for you. And that is that you don't have to worry about your heart. You know, even in your statement, you said you want your attitudes to line up with the eyes of your heart. You want the eyes of your heart to dictate everything. And so that means, you know, a believer has a new heart. You've got a new heart. You've got a resurrection heart. You've got a believing heart. You've got an obedient heart. So don't you worry one second about that heart. If you're in Christ and if Christ lives in you, then He took out your heart of stone and He gave you a new heart that is a believing and an obedient heart. So what you're really experiencing is the same thing that we all experience as Christians. We're experiencing the renewing of the mind. And so that's something that is very normal and very healthy, and every day that's going to be the case, that, you know, as long as I live, I will wake up and need to set my mind. I will wake up every day and I will need to be reminded of the truth about my forgiveness and about my new life in Christ. And there will not be a day when I don't need to set my mind on Him and those things that He's done for me. So, you know, first I would say what you're experiencing is really normal. We need time to grow in our knowledge of Him. We need time to have our mind renewed. But your heart is not the problem. If you're a child of God, you've got that new, clean, resurrection heart where Christ lives in you, in your heart by faith. And so what you're really experiencing is the renewing of the mind, and that is normal for every single Christian on the planet. So to that I'd say, welcome to the club, my friend. You're one of us. We're just like you, and it's going to take time and truth, and that's the case for every single one of us.
Jane, hope you're listening and hope that's a help to you, and thanks for writing. If you have further questions, don't hesitate to get in contact with us. Friends, don't forget that we are offering this wonderful new DVD series called Your Living Hope to help you stand against the pressures that the world brings to bear on us every single day. With your gift to Basic Gospel this month, we'll send you a copy of it. It's a brand new videoed DVD that Bob and Richard have put together, and we hope you'll take advantage of the opportunity to get a copy for yourself. Simply go to basicgospel.net, click donate, and we'll be glad to get a copy of it on the way to you. You can also call 844-322-2742. That number available 24 hours a day to make your donation, 844-322-2742. Either way, a great way to get a copy of Your Living Hope by Bob and Richard. Well, guys, a question from James in Aurora, Colorado. It says, what is abundant life according to John 10:10? Does it mean a physical life now or a spiritual life? A life full of what? Thank you for your wisdom. I want to hear it, believe it, and live it.
Well, there's lots of definitions out there for abundant life. Depends on kind of the group that you talk to. You know, if you're into the positive, feel-good messages that most people are out there in the world, abundant life is feeling good about yourself 24/7. And if you're not feeling good about yourself, just say a few positive affirmations and get that mind on that positive track again. So for some, that's what abundant life is. But that's not what Jesus is referring to. It's referring, you know, when he speaks of abundant life, he's talking about his life that he gives us when we receive him. And then that life as a quality of life is in knowing him. Jesus defined eternal life this way, that we know God the Father and Jesus Christ whom he sent. So eternal life is a quality of life that is different, that is something that comes from outside of this world, from God himself, and he gives to us when he gives us Jesus. So that's the abundant life that Jesus is talking about. So his life is abundant. When he gives it to us, then we have an abundant life. And as Andrew, as you were talking about the renewing of our mind, as our minds really get aligned with what this life is all about, then it really starts to be lived out in every area of our being, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I love how you explained the definition there of the abundant life. I mean, the abundant life is not our life made better. It's not our life made longer. The abundant life is his life. And, you know, the same for eternal life. I mean, we talk about these things like there's some sort of gift package awaiting us in heaven. Here's your box filled with eternal life. You know, open it up and enjoy. So we might imagine ourselves getting to heaven and there's that sort of gift box waiting, and that's when eternal life begins. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that eternal life begins now, and the abundant life or the full life begins now, because it is Jesus's life. And so that's why he says, you know, because I live, you also live. We live because he lives. Paul said Christ is our life, and when we appear with him, we'll appear with him in glory. So Christ is not a priority. He's not a thing on a list. We don't have to try to get him first, you know, right before family and right before country. And, you know, we try to treat him like he's a priority on a list. And instead, we need to see he is my life. Christ is my life. And that can mean all kinds of things. In a moment where I'm freaking out, he's my peace. In a moment where I don't know how to respond, he's my patience. You know, he becomes my resource in every moment of need. He's my life. He's my everything.
Well, like Major Ian Thomas kind of talked with us about years and years ago, back in the early 80s, he helped us come up with a phrase, you know, Christ gave his life for us, to give his life to us, to live his life through us. So that right there is the definition of abundant life and abundant living, Christ Jesus himself. Yeah. And he is the good news. When we think of that good news, that story that God wanted us to know, it was the news about Jesus from start to finish. So he is everything. Learn to trust him. And that's how we interact with him, by faith. As we learn to trust him, depend upon him, abide upon him, have hearts that are obedient to him, we get to experience this abundant life. And boy, there's nothing in this world that can compare. And maybe some of you today are listening and you're asking a question. I want that abundant life. How do I get it? Well, it's simply by opening up your heart and receiving Jesus Christ himself. He's standing at the door of your heart right now. He's knocking. Simply say, Lord Jesus, come in. And he's going to give you his life. He is going to transfer you from death to life. And I guarantee you, you'll be so excited. It's the greatest adventure you could ever have. If that's something that you would like to know more about, we ask you to contact us. Call us. Or write to me at bob@basicgospel.net.
And, of course, this month we've been talking about our new DVD teaching series called Your Living Hope. And, folks, as you make your gift to Basic Gospel this month, we have a copy of it for you. It's all about standing firm against the world's pressures to conform to its ways. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742, and we'll send you a copy of this empowering DVD series, Your Living Hope, from Basic Gospel. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net or donate by phone at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742, that number available 24 hours a day to serve you. Well, thanks for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back at the same time tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.